Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Thank God for revival. Thank God for the outpouring of His Spirit. Thank God that every time we come into the house of the Lord, God shows up and moves and sets the captive free. Thank God that we can place a demand upon the anointing. If there's something that God wants to do in these days we're living in, is set us completely free. He wants to fill us and saturate us with His presence and His glory. We should never come to church and play church, go through the motions. It's not about going through the motions. We're not here to go through the motions. Wednesday night, we just show up and go through the motions. No, we are to press in and touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And some of you might have faced some very difficult things this week, but let me tell you what. Tonight you can get set free by the power of Almighty God, because the glory and the presence and the anointing of God's in the house. And if there's something that God wants to do, He wants to touch you. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And I require and I desire more of Him. Thank God for revival. I pray, God, revive us. Revive us, Lord. Change us, fill us, saturate us, that we're never the same. Consume us with the fire of God, that we're never the same again. That's my prayer. That's my cry. I don't want a little touch. I don't want to just feel a few goosebumps. I want the fire. Bring on the fire. Because I know the fire changes us. That's what revival does. Revival brings change. You cannot be revived and still be the same. They don't go together. Revival means this: something that was alive that has died is now being revived. The church was alive and then they died. But God's reviving the church. He's breathing life back into the church. When the church gets revived, let me tell you what, they will go to the streets and they will preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ on the highways and the byways. That's what revival does to the church. It stirs the church. The desire of the church becomes the desire of God. In many cases, the desire of the church today is, you know, let's just build a big building and let's just build a big church, you know. And that's what it is. You know, we're in a season right now where we have all these big satellite churches. People come there on a Sunday morning and they sit and watch the preacher on a big screen. It's the trend right now. But I can tell you right now, if God showed up, there'd be a lot of trending changing. Hello? If God showed up in many of those houses on a Sunday morning, the next Sunday there would be hardly anybody there. Hello? See, we can't build a church on what man's idea and man's plan is. We have to build it on the Word, and we have to build it on the anointing. Because if we build it on anything less, when God's anointing shows up, people are going to leave. Hello? Especially people that are living in sin. You know, people don't want to go to church on a Sunday morning to hear that they need a change. Well, can't we just keep doing the same thing we do over and over and go to church on a Sunday morning and just... No. If you come into revival, God's going to press you and press you to change. Why? Because He wants to take you on from glory to glory. And He wants to fill you, and He wants to saturate you, and He wants to use you for the kingdom in these last days. But He has to purify the vessel. And in many cases, that's the tough part. Not for God, but for us. That's the tough part. The vessel being purified. Lord, I'll climb up on the altar. I'll become a living sacrifice. Come and do whatever you want to do. And then the fire comes down upon the living sacrifice, upon the altar, and the living sacrifice gets off the altar and runs away. Hello. Instead of staying there and saying, okay, Lord, change me. Whatever's not in me that you didn't put there, take it out of me, set me free, change me. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, the wind of the Spirit blows and the fire of God comes down upon everyone. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right after the wind and the fire. They were all filled. And then they began to speak with other tongues. You know, we as Pentecostals, listen, we try to get a language. We try to give somebody a language. But we forget about the infilling. See, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is different to the language of the Spirit. The language of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, is not the Holy Ghost. That's the language of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a third person of the Godhead. God the Father, we got Jesus, and we got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. And when you get filled with the Spirit, you will have a heavenly language. Hello. When you get filled with the Spirit, you'll have a heavenly language. People say, I want a heavenly language. Get filled. Happened on the day of Pentecost. Hello. Isn't it amazing how over the years the church has actually stepped aside from the power and the demonstration of the anointing, but still try to keep other things going, like, hey, let's get you speaking in tongues. What about the power? What about the infilling of the Holy Spirit? What about the fire? How about some wind? Well, let me say this. If the wind blows in the house and the fire of God falls, and people get filled, then there's going to be pandemonium in the house, and we might offend people. Yeah, that's a possibility. But would you rather offend the Holy Spirit? Would you rather offend the Holy Spirit than offend people? Listen, you can have a dead ministry and still offend people. Yeah, you can have a dead ministry and still offend people. You can have a ministry where the glory of God flows and people get set free and people are still going to get offended. So what do you want? Hello? See, we cannot sidestep things that God wants to do and then we still want everything that He has. When we cry out and say, God, send revival, send the move of your Spirit, shake me, change me, fill me, saturate me. Let me tell you what you're asking God for. You're asking for Him to come and blow the wind of His Spirit through you, through your life, through your family, through your business, through your bank account, through everything you have. You're asking God to come with His fire and rain fire down upon your life that you'll never be the same. You're asking God to fill you and saturate you with His power. With the Holy Spirit, that you become intoxicated and you become drunk on the things of God. That's what you're asking God for. It sounds like the day of Pentecost to me. Woo, glory to God. Sounds like the day of Pentecost to me. People pray, God, send revival, send revival. And then God shows up. Oh, no, God, not like this. I mean, could we have a quiet one? Could we have a quiet revival? Something that's just, you know, palatable to the people. I don't want them to lose Brother Big Bucks, Sister Big Bucks. I don't want them to go, Father. But I know if the wind comes through and the fire falls, they're going to leave. God doesn't send the move of His Spirit so He can please everybody. He sends the move of His Spirit so He can set people free. Hello. So you can bring about a change. We want God to shake America. We want God to change America. But it has to begin somewhere. How about He start in us? How about that be our cry? God, change me. Set me free. Deliver me. Whatever it takes, God, I lay it all on the altar. Whatever it takes, I'll give it all up to you. I surrender all. How about we cry, God, start a work in me. Start here, Lord. Because you see, if He starts here and He begins to change on the inside of me, then everywhere I go and everybody I come into contact with, there's also a change that begins. We become carriers of change. Hello. We become carriers of the anointing. We become carriers of the glory of God. So everywhere we go, lives are being touched and changed, not only in church, but on the highways and the byways, in the restaurants, in your workplace. Everywhere you go, lives are being touched and changed by the power of God. Listen, I've seen people act differently when we're around. Why? Because of the anointing that's on our life. Hello? And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, so I tell people exactly who we are, where we're from, and what we do. Hello? See, we've stayed in revival. We've stayed in the move of God because as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing else. And I've got nothing to go back to. Hello, I've got nothing to go back to. If I'm going to go back to anything, I'm going to go back to revival. Back to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Back to joy. Back to the fire of God, the wind of the Spirit. I'm going back to Acts chapter 2. Some ministers, they've gone out of revival and they've gone back to what they did before. And their churches are just as dead as what it was before revival came. I'm not going back. I've got nothing to go back to. In actual fact, I've forgotten how to have a dead meeting. I couldn't even have a dead meeting. I've forgotten how to have it. I think I make one mistake every meeting I show up. I always welcome the Holy Spirit. Come do whatever you want to do. And that's the end of the dead meeting. Hello? Because now I'm giving God control of the meeting, and then He shows up and He starts touching the hearts and lives of people and starts to set people free. I'm just the donkey braying in this tin barn here tonight. Hello? I'm not responsible for what God does. I'm just allowing Him to come do whatever He wants to do. I remember back in 93, we came through Calvary here with my brother. What a great move of God. What a great outpouring of the Spirit. I remember 95, I believe it was 95, we did our very first camp meeting at Calvary in the other building. And I remember on that Sunday when we showed up and I was standing in Pastor Bob's office looking at a picture of revival. There was a picture in his office, and he might still probably have that, but it was a long picture like this of the whole congregation. I saw myself on the front row and the ushers and my dear brother second row there. I mean, just everybody there, I recognized a whole lot of people. While I was looking at that, somebody came and stood right next door to me, and I don't know who it was, and it could have been one of the ushers at that time. And this is what he said to me. He said, back in those days, you were just an usher. Which I was. I'd usher all the crazy people out the building. Amen. I used to track them down, boy. Crazy people, honing on them, out the door. I was like a Holy Ghost bouncer. Amen. Because I tell you what, there was some some people that showed up in some of those meetings. My God. But anyway, so he said to me, he said, back in those days, and he was looking at the picture with me too, he said, back in those days, you were just an usher. He said, we're going to see what you are now. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm still just an usher. I said, back in those days, I ushered people. I said, the only difference is now I usher in the Holy Spirit. But I'm still an usher. Amen. Still an usher. That's all I do is I just show up and usher in the Holy Spirit. He tells me what to do when I go do it. Pick on people because he tells me to pick on them. And people get set free. And that's all that matters to me. Hello. Listen, it's not even about a name. I don't care if nobody even knows who I am. Some people even said to me, yeah, we didn't even know you existed. They know about my brother, Rodney, and they know about my other brother. They said, how many brothers have you got? I'm like, only three of us. Hello. I remember days, people come up to me, meet me in a mall somewhere, or bump into me in church one day and go, hey, Brother Rodney, how you doing? I'm like, no, I'm not Brother Rodney. I'm his brother Basil. They look at me and go, no, you're Brother Rodney. I'm like, no, I'm his brother Basil. And then they proceed to argue with me. They're like, no, listen, we know Brother Rodney and you are he. So I start to pick my nose. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. Eventually I'm going, you know what, whatever. And they go, well, how are you doing, Brother Rodney? I'm going, I'm doing great. How are you doing? I was in a church in Texas, somewhere here in Texas, and 3 weeks of revival meetings. We baptized the last night 550 people. The pastor of that church said to me one day, he said, man, I had a guy come up to me and said, man, thank you so much that you've had, you know, Rodney Hart Brown here for the last 3 weeks. I said, did you tell him it wasn't Rodney? He said, I just couldn't. I'm like, oh, thank you very much. I remember one Sunday morning, I was preaching in the river down in Tampa Bay for my brother. He was out of town. Or he might have been out of the country. And I referred to him as, you know, Pastor Rodney this and Pastor Rodney that. And a lady came up to me after the meeting. I was in the foyer of the church. And she came up to me after the meeting and said, she said, I need to ask you a question. I said, what is it? She goes, why do you refer to yourself in the third person? You keep saying, you know, Pastor Rodney, listen, why don't you just say me or I? Why do you keep saying Pastor Rod? I said, because I'm not Pastor Rodney. She looked at me like, what? I said, no, I'm his brother. She just turned around and walked off. She's like, that boy's crazy. Hello. Listen, it's not even, I mean, I've said this for years. I think I've been building my brother's ministry. But listen, if I'm building the kingdom of heaven, who cares? I mean, I don't care. As long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. Come on now. Hey, I had somebody come up to me one day and said this. Now they actually knew who I was. They said, listen, Brother Basil, we want to tell you this, that we've been in your meetings and we've been in your Brother Rodney's and we like your Brother Rodney's meetings better than yours. I mean, I just smiled. I said, well, bless God. Praise Jesus. Yeah. Who cares? But then I've had people come and say, you know, we like your meeting more than his. I'm like, listen, it's not about a comparison. We're not comparing. You know, listen, we might look the same, we might walk the same, we might talk the same, we have both same father and mother, but the administration of the anointing is different, but the end result's always the same, because it's the same Holy Spirit. Hello. Why would we want to get into a comparing? Listen, I've looked at what he has. I don't want what he's got, because it's not mine. I want what God has for me. Amen. I only want what God has for me. I don't look at anybody else's ministry and go, oh, I really want. I don't want that. I only want what God has for me. That's all I want. As long as I can stand before God one day and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that's all I want to hear. Amen. It's not about looking at somebody else's ministry and wanting that. You don't want what they've got. Hello. People come and say, "Oh, I want a double portion of your anointing." Okay, well, then you can have a double portion of the persecution too. Oh, no, no, hold the persecution. It's not like we're placing an order. Hello. Give me a burger, but hold the cheese. No, no, no. With this burger comes the cheese. Hello. With the anointing in your life comes persecution. Hello. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former." See, when I look at the former and I see what God did in the church, and I'm thinking to myself, the glory of the latter house, the house that we're in right now, is going to be greater than the former. I can tell you right now, folks, we are in for the best ride of our life. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. What God did in the 90s was just a warm-up for what God's about to do on this earth right now. It's just a warm-up. I've always said this, if what happened in the 90s is all that God has, then we, the church, are in big trouble. Because what God did in the 90s did not bring the body of Christ together. In actual fact, it brought some division. And people say, "Well, when God moves, there's going to be no division." Uh-huh. When Jesus was down here on this earth, do you think there was division in the synagogues? Do you think, what about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the wooden seas and the couldn seas? Did they not try to, listen, Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says they were mad, they were angry at him, and they communed with one another what they could do to Jesus. That wasn't division. Hello? Listen, the division's going to come because of religion. Religion and tradition hates the move of the Spirit of God, hates the freedom that God's anointing brings. I like it a lot. I love the move of God. I love the freedom it brings. There is no religion in the house. Religion cannot stay in the presence of God. The anointing of God will destroy religion and tradition if we allow Him to. But let me tell you what, when God's anointing comes and destroys religion and tradition, it means change, 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 change. Revival's not something that you can capture in your mind because it's so contrary to what the church does. We show up to church, you know, we're all educated people sitting here. And suddenly joy breaks out and people start laughing, falling on the floor, rolling around, running the building, jumping the pews. You know, it's like, well, what's going on? It's nothing you can capture in your mind. That's why when I pray for people and they won't break through, I tell them, get out of your mind. It's not in your mind that you can receive what God's doing. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So you cannot receive from God in the natural mind. The flesh doesn't want to come to church and laugh uncontrollably. Hello? The flesh doesn't want other people looking at them. The flesh wants to just come hide away somewhere and hope nobody sees us. But when God shows up and there's fire and there's wind, you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Because God's going to find you wherever you are. That's what I love about God and I love about the move of the Spirit. Religion cannot stay, cannot hang around, cannot be in the house when God's in the house. Hello? It's like devils. Devils can't be in here when God's in the house and manifesting. Whether they be religious or not, but they can be in the house. They're going to manifest. I had a minister say to me one day, how come when you show up to come have revival in my church, then suddenly I see all these flaky people? I said, look, the flakes you'll have with you always. But I said that, yes, how you see them. It's like when you go outside your house at night, listen, there are bugs all over the place, but you don't see them until you turn on the light. And then all of a sudden the bugs are there and you go, wow, look at all the bugs. Same in the church. Same in the church. You turn on the lights, let the glory of God come, and suddenly you see the bugs. Hello? Listen, there are some cockroaches right now running through your kitchen. Or some of your kitchens have a cockroach in it right now. Just climbed up into the toaster. When you get home tonight, you walk in, you won't see them. But if you switch on the light quickly, you might see a cockroach scurrying across the countertop. Hello? Some of you are going to do that when you get home, right? And you're going to go in there, sneak in and switch on the light quickly and go, ah, thank God, no cockroaches. It's the same in church. Hello? Sometimes you're sitting in church next door to a cockroach. You don't even know about it. And then the glory of God shines and go, woo! There goes some religion. Hello? There goes some tradition. That's what happens when God shows up. Things are going to change. People are going to change. People look at you over a period of time and go, my God, how you've changed. You're not the same. You're so different. How come you're so happy all the time? Oh, I'm just hanging out with God. You want a little of my depression? No. Well, I'm just depressed all the time. Well, come on, hang out with God, with me, and you'll see. Depression goes. Can't be with God and be depressed. Hello? Can't be in the presence of God and be depressed. The anointing come, destroy the yoke of bondage, and then joy comes. Hello? The army that God's raising up is going to be a very well-equipped army. They're going to know the word. They're going to know who their God is. They're going to know all about God's anointing, His power, His presence. And everywhere that army goes, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen. I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care what he tries to throw at us, throw at America, throw at the church. Let me tell you what, great is he that's in us and he that's in the world. And we are going to overcome. Hello. We're going to overcome. It's not by a protest, but by the power of Almighty God. We are going to overcome. Go and read the end of the book. Go read the book of Revelations. Go see the plan. That's where we're going. Can you say loser? Because that's what the devil is. He's a loser. You know where he's going? To hell. He's going to hell. He's just trying to make your life hell down here on this earth. But that's where he's going. When the devil comes around me, I tell him, go to hell. He'll say, oh, you should never tell the devil that. I'm just giving him some direction. He just lost his way. Hello. Revival. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Equipping the saints. Getting the army of God ready. You know what I pray? I pray that through these meetings, God will raise up people that'll be so full of the Holy Ghost that God will take you around the nation, even around the world, and that a major revival will break out through your life and ministry. That's what I pray. I don't care who it breaks out through as long as it breaks out. Oh, you listen to me. It doesn't have to break out through me. As long as it breaks out, let it happen. I just want to see revival shake the nation. This is a great nation. America is a great nation. We've just seen that through the elections. America's a great nation. And listen, God's not done with us yet. And the church need to kick this into another level. If we end up any less than what we are right now, it's the church to blame. Because we are the light of the world. We carry the anointing. Amen. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Tomorrow I'll be even more hungrier. I'll be even more thirstier. Sunday night when we show up back here, I'll be even more hungrier. I'll be pressing in for more of God. I'm telling you. Every time we show up, I press in for more. I thank God for what He's done. But listen, I'm pressing in for more and more. I've got to have more. Got to have more. Got to see God come in a greater way. It's not about coming to church and getting entertained. It's about coming to church and having a personal encounter with God Almighty. That's what it's about. What you going to do for the kingdom? What are you going to do for the kingdom? How are you going to do it for the kingdom? What's the plan that God has for you for the kingdom? You know, He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And He also has the equipment to get the job done. In other words, He has an anointing that He wants to put upon you so that everywhere you go, you can fulfill what God wants you to do. The reason why we flow in the anointing in revival like we do and the joy is because that's what God's equipped us to do. We're just doing what God's called us to do. That's why everywhere we go, joy breaks out, because it's what the anointing is that's on our life. Hello. He'll equip some of you to do the same. We need revivalists. My God, we need people full of the Holy Ghost. We need revivalists. We need desperate people that are hungry for God. They're not concerned about the status quo. They're not concerned about religion and tradition. They're not worried about what other people think or might say about them. But they're just ready to press in to whatever God wants. Oh, I'm crying out for revival. I'm crying out for revival. Listen to me carefully. I've often thought, what is it going to take for America? What is it going to take for the church to be revived? I said this to the Lord. I said, God, please let it not be a crisis. Let it not be a crisis. Let us just come to God with no crisis in our life, with no crisis in the nation, and let's press in to the things of God. Let it not be a crisis that causes the church to turn to God. Why can we not turn to Him in times of good? Why does it have to be a crisis before we turn and go, oh my God, we need You. We've got to have You. We need Him anyway. Let it not be a crisis. I'm not waiting another 4, 8, 12 years for a shaking. I'm not waiting for another, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years to see revival. I want it now. I cry to God for it now. Every time I walk into a meeting, I say, God, is tonight the night? Do you know that God told me, and He gave me a promise? And let me tell you where He gave me that promise. And I'm going to begin to close with this, and then we're going to pray for everybody. God gave me a promise. I was sitting in Calvary Cathedral. There was a minister, I won't mention his name, but he travels all over the world, was sitting right behind me, tapped me on the shoulder in the middle of a meeting, and he said this to me. He said, God's found you faithful. And he said, because of your faithfulness, God is going to shake a whole city through your ministry. So God, that's what he told me. That was back in 93. I remember it like he told me yesterday. Never forgotten it. I've been into places before and said, Lord, is this it? Is this it? I mean, we've done 7, 8, 9, 10 week revival meetings all over the place. I said, is this it? And it hasn't been it. So they're still coming through our ministry, a shaking of a whole city. And I'm very humbled by that. I'm like, my God, really? But it's coming. It's coming. See, we are moving into the most exciting times. All it takes is a hunger, a desperation. God, use me. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, use me. Change me. Fill me. Saturate me. Touch me. Use me. I cry out for revival. I cry out for the move of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have God show up in the house. Have to. See, we can only look on the outside, but He looks on the inside. So we can hide stuff because of our outside, but we cannot hide anything from Him. So I don't know what's going on with any of you unless He tells me. And then sometimes He tells me, and I still don't know what's going on with you. But He knows. And He loves you. And He wants to take you from where you're at, whatever you're dealing with. He wants to take you from that place and take you to a place of blessing. Take you to a place where He can purify the vessel so that He can pour His precious anointing into you. So that He can raise you up and use you in these last days. Folks, that's what this is all about. God setting His children free for this end time harvest. And I don't know about you, but I have, my wife and I, we've determined in our heart, we will not miss out on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. And whatever it takes, whatever we have to change, whatever God has to do in our heart and life. Listen, we've given Him everything. We've given Him our life. We gave Him our children. We've given everything to Him. Because we're hungry. We're thirsty. We're desperate. Amen. Come change me, Lord. Come change me. If you're going to start a work, start it in me. If you're going to do anything, do it in me, Lord. I don't want to be the same. I want you to take me on from glory to glory. Yeah, God has changed my life over the years, but I'm telling you, I want more. I want more. I'm not going to settle down. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going back. I'm hungry. More of Him. More of Him. More of Him. More of Him. And then when I get more of Him, I want more of Him. Hello. Why would we want to put joy aside? Why? Why wouldn't we want joy? Why would we want the Spirit of God not to move on a Sunday morning, but maybe on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night, but not on a Sunday morning? Why would we want to put that aside? Why would we want to put the move of the Spirit aside? Why wouldn't we want God to just come move every time we show up in the house? Why wouldn't we want Him to move in our home as we drive down the road. When you're sitting on the pot. I mean, I've heard God speaks to me often on the pot because I spend a lot of time on it. Hello. Amen. Get some direction there. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You never heard God speak to you on the pot? Yeah. I don't want, listen, I don't want God out of our life for one moment in the day. Not one moment. Not one moment. And every decision we make, we need to take it before the throne of grace. Make sure we are connected with His plan. And when we do that, you'll suddenly see doors opening, things happening around you, favor coming on your life. Blow you away. I'm telling you, just amaze you. It'll amaze you. It'll amaze you. But we will not set aside revival. We'll not set aside the move of the Holy Spirit. We'll not set aside joy. We'll not set aside the healing power of Jesus. We'll not set aside anything and everything that the Word speaks. We're not going to set aside prosperity. We're going to embrace everything that God has for us. And then so. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all lift our hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for the anointing in the house. Jesus. Thank you for your anointing in the house, Lord. Thank you that you are filling and saturating your children. That God, not one person leaves this place the same way they came. That your anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, sets the captive completely free. Even right now, Lord, let the wind of your Spirit blow through this place. There it is, like a mighty rushing wind. Jesus. Let the fire of God rest upon each of us, Lord, in the house right now. There it is, fresh fire from heaven. Fire of the Holy Ghost sitting on each and every one. Fire of the Holy Ghost right now, right now. That's it there, that's it there. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill. Holy Spirit, fill every hungry and every thirsty person here tonight. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your glory. Fill them with your presence. That they leave this place so full of the Holy Ghost that they have a new heavenly language. That they leave this place so full of the Holy Ghost that they carry the fire and the wind and the glory of God upon them. Carriers of the anointing. Jesus. Oh, I feel the power of God here right now. God's already touching people. God's already touching people. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's deeper depths, there's higher heights God's going to take you into in these days. There's realms of the Spirit that we've never been into, that in the natural we don't even know exist, that God's going to take us into. There's times in His presence that we're going to press in, and it'll be hours. Maybe days that we'll be in His presence, in His glory, as He communes with us and teaches us and shows us stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. New songs are going to be birthed within you. Fresh worship is going to be birthed within you. New ideas are coming from the throne room of grace. Things that are going to revolutionize things down here on this earth is coming from the throne room of grace. It's going to propel people into realms of financial blessing that you could never even begin to imagine or think that you would ever walk and live in that realm. This is a new day. This is a fresh new beginning. God's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church as we know it will never be the same. Church as we know it, it's all going to change. It's all going to change. The status quo, the structure, everything's going to change in these last days as God comes with a fresh wind and a fresh move of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you need to get ready for what God's about to do. Some of you need to get ready for what God's about to do. And never say, oh, not me. I'm not worthy. No, you are. You're worthy because of Jesus. You are worthy because of Jesus. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not in your own ability, but it's in the ability of God. He has it all. He has it all. It's all there. It's ready. He's just waiting, looking for the vessel. Somebody that would step up and say, what about me, Lord? Can you use me? Yes, I can use you. Allow me to change you on the inside and let me set you free and let me give you a new wineskin and then I'm going to fill you with my presence, my glory and my power and then I'm going to send you forth. And I'm going to use you in these last days, shaking nations, shaking cities. Hallelujah. 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 Don't limit God. Don't put Him in a box. Get out of your head. Don't try to work out what God's doing in your mind. The mind is unfruitful. The mind cannot comprehend God and His ways. The mind will tell you this is how God's going to do it, and that's how He's going to do it. But God comes in a totally opposite way, in another direction, and He does it in the least way we expect. Let God be God and let God do what He does. Quieten down your mind and stir up your spirit and let God grab a hold of your spirit and let Him take you to places you've never been before. Hallelujah. 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 For those that didn't know this, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. Some of you even sitting out there thinking to yourself, man, I'm on the back burner. God doesn't even know where I'm at. He don't even remember me. I've been wanting Him to use me for years, but He's just never used me. Let me tell you what, God hasn't forgotten about you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are. And sometimes there's a journey that we have to take. And there's lessons that have to be learned, so that God can put you in a place where He can trust you with His anointing and His power and the demonstration thereof. And sometimes we go down a journey and we look at the thing going, what are we doing here? But listen, sometimes you're on the backside of the devil, of the desert. Sometimes you're on the backside of the desert. And that's okay, because you're not meant to stay there. He's going to take you through to the promised land. He's going to show you a way out of what you're in. It's all a time of learning. It's a time of experience. Life's experiences cause us to be stronger when it comes to the things of God. There's journeys that my wife and I have been on that we look and go, my God, why are we on this journey? And then when we look back over the last 23 years, we go, We know why. So no, he hasn't forgotten you. So what about me, little old me? He can't use me. Yes, he sure can. Absolutely can use you if you just allow him to do that. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Thank you for the anointing that sets a captive free. We speak a miracle in the house, Lord. We speak a miracle in the house. I'm contending for a miracle. I am contending for a miracle. You are the God of the impossible. I don't care what doctors say. I don't care what people say. I only care what the Word says. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. This happened back on Calvary, on the cross 2,000 years ago. You promised us divine health. I'm contending for miracles in the house, Lord. The God of the supernatural, the God of the impossible. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. That destroys the yoke of bondage, sets a captive free. Free, 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 free. Healed and whole. There it is right now. That's God's anointing. That's God's anointing. That's His anointing flowing right into you. That's His anointing flowing right into you. Right from the throne room of grace. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We're not the healer, Lord, but you are. We only do what you tell us to do. You said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Woo! Thank you, my Jesus. We just do what you tell us to do. You do the work. You do it all. It's all for your glory. It's all for your glory. It's all for your glory, Jesus. It's all for your glory, Lord. Woo! My. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. A sound mind, a sound mind, a sound mind, a sound mind. Jesus' name. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him anyway. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me have the first four or five rows over here. You feel the power of God on you right now. Quickly, come here. Let me pray for you. Just these rows over here, quickly. You feel the power of God on you, quickly. Come, honey. You feel the power of God on you, quickly. Come make a line across the front. Lift your hands to heaven. Get ready to receive. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Get ready to receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I am contending for miracles in the house. I am contending for miracles in the house. There's nothing that you face that's too big. All we're going to do is allow God's anointing to come, touch your life, set you free. That's it there. That's it there. That's it there. That's it there. Jesus' mighty name. That's it. In the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I tell you what, God's doing a work in your life. Every night you show up, God's doing a work. Just let him do it. He has a plan for you.